So we started talking last week. I don't know how long this is going to go. We started a series. It could be another 8-part series. I don't know. But I know this week, and I know what I'm teaching on next week. So, but as far as our series is called Making Space. Everybody say Making Space.
Making Space.
Making Space. So we are at our house in the process of making space in our home. And I talked last week about what we're doing. We're doing some stuff in our basement. We're like, next week I will. But we, we're making some space in our basement. And it was great. We got rid of a couple of things this week. We put it on the little Facebook yard sale, and they came and got it, and they gave us money. It was wonderful. And especially in the giving us money. So we're actually making space in our basement and all that kind of stuff. But we're also, there's always a project. So we are tearing down our wall. We're tearing down walls. Come on, that'll preach. Come on, Jesus. We're tearing down walls. Tearing down our wall between our kitchen. Our house is like from the early 80s. Right, so back when they didn't believe in open floor plans, right? So we are actually taking down the wall between our kitchen and our living room to kind of open it up a little bit. So actually last weekend, when after church on Sunday, we were like, well, we'll just start now. Like, why not? We have 15 teenagers like we always do after church. And we had about 15 teenagers over the house, and man, we gave them hammers and sledgehammers and just go, have at it. So it was quite exciting. So it was actually really fun, and they had other hands, so they go, hey, could y'all imagine, can y'all just take some of this out to the dump? So actually they cleaned up. It was fantastic, so it was great. So it's, pastor benefits, right? So praise God. They had a blast. Actually, they wrote in marker all over our wall before they tore it all down. It's kind of cool. But we are making space. Say it again, making space. Making space. So sometimes in our own spiritual life, we need to make some space, right? We need to make some space in our own spiritual lives. Our lives can get cluttered from other things. Hebrews chapter 12 is our main scripture. It says this in verse 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. There is a race that is marked out for you. There is something that God has for you here on this planet. There is a race for you to run. And we can have things on our lives that weight us down. One of the things about runners, man, those guys are lean. They wear their lightest clothes. They are ready to go, right? They just take off everything that would hinder. Like, you never see, a sprinter get into the blocks with a big old, your elementary kid's backpack on their back. The things that we put those things on our kids, right? Don't we? Like, that's so terrible. But anyway, that's another thought. But you never see them in the blocks with a big old backpack, right? Full of their books and full of manuals or whatever. You see them and they're just streamlined. And that's what we can do. We can be so bogged down. It's almost like comical that we as believers, we try to run our race and we're so hindered by all kind of weights and sins. It's not just the sins, it's the weights that weigh us down of things that aren't important. I heard somebody say one time, they said, why, I don't want to be an expert in things that won't matter for all of eternity. Right? I don't want to be an expert on things that won't matter for all of eternity. So, what is in our lives that kind of weighed us down? Things that can cause us to be unproductive. Jesus says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 18, he talks about the seeds that are planted, and we know about that some of the seeds were thrown on the rocky ground, right? Well, he says, still others are like seeds sown among the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. Like, we can be so bogged down with deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of this life, and the desires for other things, that our lives can be unfruitful. I don't want to stand before God and say, wow, you are, you know what, David, you are a really good fisherman. And that's it. I mean, I love fishing. You guys, mostly you know me, right? I will show pictures of my fish all the time, right, to you. Actually, he was showing this morning. I was like, oh, you haven't seen it yet. Like, oh, shit. And so, but those things are not going to matter, you know. Jesus is not going to go, hey, remember that 4-pound bass you caught last week? Wow, that was amazing. Like, for all of eternity, that's what I'm going to get crowned. No, the things I'm going to get crowned for, the things that are going to matter for the kingdom. Those are the things that are going to matter. And we can get so weighted down by other things that we neglect the things that are important. The things that are going to matter, right? The things that are going to allow you to be fruitful in this life. Don't you want to be fruitful? Don't you want to run your race? Don't you want to fulfill what God's called you to do? So we talked about our good friends a little bit last week. We called our good friends Pitch and Chuck. Pitch and Chuck. They are good friends of ours in the Lear home. We love when Pitch and Chuck come by because we streamline our house. We get rid of a lot of things. We pitch this out and we chuck that thing out, right? And so we need to invite Pitch and Chuck into our lives so that we can become fruitful. And so for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about things that hinder us, specifically things that can be hindered in our lives if we live a cluttered life, right? We need to make space for different things in our lives. And the first thing that we can do, we can hinder in our lives if we remain cluttered, if you will, is we can muffle God's voice in our lives. God's voice, let me just say this. I just had five different thoughts go through. Welcome to your ADD pastor. Listen, hearing from God is one of the most crucial things that you can learn as a believer, is how to hear from God. Hearing from God, wherever I have arrived in my own life, it's because I've learned to hear the voice of God in my life. And you're like, some people are like, you listen to God? Oh, you're a wackadoo. Like, God told me this? Wackadoo. Right? We need to understand that the Bible talks about that we can hear from God. Listen to this. In John 14:26, Jesus, our amazing Savior, says this to us about the Holy Spirit. He says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, in case you didn't know, is the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. And then he says this in John 16:13. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak, hear that? Only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. God speaks to his children. Jesus said it like this, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. You can hear from God. Right? And I'm going to show you how that kind of works, right? And let me just mention a couple of ways, first of all, before we get really into it. Two different, mainly, I used to have four, but we'll break it down to two. Two main ways that the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives. The first way is this, and this is going to be a little bit of a teaching this morning. But the first way is this, the inward witness. The inward witness. And the inward witness is best said, it's almost like your own, we call it our own conscience, right? It's like, we'll say this, it seems like this is the best thing that I should do. It's almost like it seems like, right? This seems to be, I seem pushed in this direction, right? It's not really words. It's not really like, you know, it's not like a paragraph. It's just a nudge in this direction. The second way is the inner voice. We call it the inner voice. And it is like words. There are times when God speaks words to you and through you sometimes. But it's actually a little stronger than the inner witness. It's a little bit stronger than it just seems. It's almost like sometimes it's almost a command. Almost like sometimes it is sometimes sentences and words. A lot of times it's scripture, right? But that's the two main ways that the Holy Spirit speaks individually to us, is by the inward witness and the inward voice. So how does that all work together? And what scriptures do you have that line up to those things? Well, I do have some scriptures, besides the fact that God does speak to us. How does He speak to us? In order that we would understand that God speaks to us by the inward witness and the inward voice, we need to understand that we are, and this is be repetitive for some of us, but we need to be reminded of this, that we are a three-part being, right? We are a three-part being. I am a spirit. I don't have time to go through the big teaching of all this, but just to breeze through, I am a spirit man. You are a spirit man. When you got born again, when you received Jesus as your Savior, you remember we talked about the old is gone and the new is here. We have these on the t-shirts, right? The old is gone and the new is here. That happened in your spirit. Some of us, you thought the same. After you came down to that altar and you cried and you said, I want to ask Jesus to be my Lord. I confess my sin and God is my Savior and I receive Him as my Savior and my Lord. And God did a work on the inside, changed you from a dead person on the inside to a person that's alive in God. Your spirit became alive in God. Your mind didn't come alive in God, right? Some of you thought the same thing that you always thought, right? But so we are a spirit. So when you got born again, your spirit got reborn. Your spirit is alive to God. That's good news. You know that part of you that just yearns for more of God? That part of you that yearns for the things of God? I want to serve you. No matter what you actually do, right? Come on. What you actually do, but that inside, that is your spirit man because he is alive to God. He's like, let's do this. I got kingdom thoughts. I got kingdom stuff we want to take care of. That's the kingdom of God. That is the spirit of God because your spirit and God's spirit are now been united. Because there is no more wall of separation like the Bible talks about. But the problem is we're not just spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. My soul has to do with my mind, my will, and my emotions. Right? Man, you play some good music. Oh, my goodness. Some good jazz or some good blues. Or sometimes I'm in just that mood, just like rock my face off. Like it does something to my soul, right? You know what I'm saying? Like there's something that does something to my soul. Man, you give me some... Sometimes, man, there's nothing better than some good earth, wind, and fire to get me, oh my gosh, come on, September, are you kidding me? Like something in my soul, it stirs me in my soul, right? It does something to me. I'll preach a whole message on that. But we are part of us because it attaches to our emotions. It attaches to our own, it just hits us in that place in our soul, right? But it's not our spirit. It's our soul. It has to do with our mind, our will, and our emotions. And it has to do with our mind, our thinking, how we think, how we process information, right? It's all in our mind. But we're not just a spirit. We're not just a soul. But we're also flesh. We also have a body. We live in a body. You inhabit a body. Paul says it like this. He goes, one day I'm going to put off this tent. He calls it a tent, right? And I'm going to be before my God. I'm going to cast off this earthly dwelling. He's talking about, and he's not talking about his house. He's talking about his body. So and your body has its own desires, right? Your body has its own things that it wants, right? My wife, last night, we were on our way somewhere, and she goes, you know what? I just really want some ice cream. And I went, oh, I totally agree with that. But there's something about our flesh. We go, yeah, absolutely. Our flesh. And actually, our flesh really has a voice, right? Has desires and thinking. So Our job as believers, that's my quick teaching on body, soul, spirit. Our job as believers is to line up, I am a spirit. My spirit man, watch this, controls all the rest. All the rest. He says, actually, you want to learn how to overcome sins in your life? Paul says it like this. He says, by my spirit, I put to death the deeds of my body. Right? It's by my spirit. Your spirit man. You are a spirit man. And we should have our spirit man in ascendancy above everything else in our lives. Because those who are led by the Spirit are those who are sons of God, right? The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, and God turns it whatever way He will, Proverbs says. Right? So to get that understood, that you are, say,
I am
a spirit. I have a soul, and I live. In a body. I am a spirit man. I have a soul and I live in a body. But I am first a spirit man born again by God. I am a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. That's why it's, oh man, there's so much. That's why it says that we need to crucify our flesh. Who? Our spirit man. We need to what with our mind? We need to renew our mind, right? Our spirit needs to have ascendancy. So here's an interesting scripture that kind of shows us a little bit how this all works together. And this actually is actually talking about praying in tongues, right? You're like, here we go. But this is a great way to understand it. Watch this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, watch this, my spirit prays. Remember what we just talked about. Here, understand what he's talking about. My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. You see that? When you pray, we believe in praying in tongues here. We can have a whole message on that later. But when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says your spirit prays, but your mind is unfruitful. See the delineation between those two, right? That there is your spirit that prays and your mind is unfruitful, right? So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my understanding, right? He says two different ways that you can pray. You can pray out of your spirit and you can pray out of your understanding. I will also sing. It says, I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. Right? Sometimes you will hear the worship team. Even in English, they'll sing a spiritual song that's not something that they, it's not on their chord chart, right? It's not on their thing, but they'll just sing even words, like words of affirmation to God, just flowing out of their heart. What are they doing? They're singing out of their spirit to God, right? They didn't learn it anywhere. It wasn't written down anywhere. It's just the words that have come, isn't that right, Jessica? They're just words that come right out of their heart to the Lord. So I want you to see the difference between your spirit can do something and your mind can be separate, a part of it, and not a part of it. Does that make sense? So when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays because your spirit and the Holy Spirit are connected because of the new birth. Does that make sense? So I say this, I am a spirit. But then it goes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not, and I'll get to hearing from God, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but by people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I give you milk and not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are not ready, for you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly, acting like mere humans? Don't you love that? You feel that call in there to not walk like mere humans? Like, you are not just merely just a human, right? You are born again by the Spirit of God. Like, there is something that happened to you, then you can live this life not as just mere humans, not as just worldly, right? Thinking mere humans, he talks about, like, when you're worldly, when you think like mere humans and you don't live out of your spirit and live by the Spirit of God, what is the answer? What are the things that are the fruit of that? Well, he says it. Jealousy. Quarreling. What are they? They're natural processes for things that happen in your life. What is when somebody has something you don't have? Jealousy. Right? Somebody says something. Somebody cuts you off. The first thing you want to do is multiple things. Jesus asks us to be led by our spirits. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. I have a lot of scriptures. It says, those who live according to the flesh, watch this, set their minds on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind, see the difference, right? The mind is governed by the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed, watch this, by the Spirit is life and peace. Don't you want some life and peace in your life? He says, if you want that, we need to be people. We need to be people that are set our minds on what the Spirit has, and we will get life and peace. Right? Now, so if we understand that our spirit and our mind is separate, what we need to learn how to do is hear the voice of God. If I'm going to live by my spirit, and I'm not going to be a person who only responds to situations in my life, because we can do that one of the two ways, right? We can respond to situations in our life by our minds, or we can respond to situations in our life by our spirit, right? A voice of the Spirit. The question is, are you making space to hear from the Spirit of God? Are you making space to hear from the Spirit of God? And let me just say this. What you feed will grow. What you feed will grow. It's a principle of the Word. Whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap. If all you sow to is your mind and your flesh, your mind and your flesh are going to be the strongest part of your trifold nature of who you are. You're going to be, you are going to be a flesh monster. Feed me, Seymour, right? From Little Shop of Horrors. Like, you will be that little plant that grows up and like just eats poor little Martin Short, right? Does he eat Martin Short in the movie? I don't remember. That was a long time ago. I know, that came right out of my head. Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Little Shop of Horrors again. Oh, yeah. Like, how did I remember Martin Short was in that movie? So, anyway. Whatever you feed is what you're going to grow. Listen, we live in a culture today where they are constantly wanting your attention. Wanting your attention. I want your attention. I got to have your attention. I want your attention because I want you to buy things from me. I want you to have this. This is my attention. I want you to have this. This is the most important thing in your life. Is this. Right? And if we're not careful, we will clutter our being that the only thing we hear is what's been fed to us through our minds. And let me just be the pastor for a second. And then a lot of us, the only time we really ever feed our spirit is when you give somebody about 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. If that's the only time, listen, if that's the only time we ever even feed ourselves anything of the Word of God or anything of the things of God or even things of His thoughts, you will be a flesh or a mind monster. And I will tell you right now, it will be hard for you to hear the voice of God because everything else is so loud in your mouth, in your mind. What about this? 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 You talk about faith. You're talking about having faith. Faith is not of your mind. As a matter of fact, you have to shut your mind off sometimes. I had to shut my mind off when God started telling me, we're going to raise $7,000 for a road in Honduras. If I was raising $7,000 to feed kids, like in my mind, this is what I'm thinking, right? How am I going to go to the church and say, we're going to build a road for $7,000? Welcome to the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? Like all these doubts, all these things. And what do I have to do? We all live this way. What do I have to do? I say, no, no, no. God, I'm going to take this to you. I'm going to take this to you. So what did I do that night when I went to bed? I laid in bed. I said, Lord, is this what you want? And me and the Lord worked it out. I was like, okay, Lord, that's what we'll do. I had to shut my mind off, forget all the reasons why we can't, forget all the other reasons why we shouldn't. God, if this is what you're leading me to do, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be led by our Spirit. We'll be led by our Spirit. And God will speak to you. He will speak to you. And He will nudge you in places. Like those times when you're with that, where you're with somebody and all of a sudden maybe it's a coworker and they just get on your last nerve. And you're ready to just, man, in my mind, I got all the words. You said that about me? Well, let me give you the laundry list that I have about you. Right? Because I got it prepared. You know? How many of y'all got that list prepared? Oh, y'all are way too holy for me. So, you got that list. I got it. It got that list. Come on now. You're ready to go. I've got it fired up. Just say it. Just say it. Pow! I got that loaded. I'm shooting you down. Right? But all of a sudden, something rises up in your spirit. And you say, it says, let it go. And you go, no, I ain't gonna let it go. And the Holy Spirit goes, let it go. Let it go. Now, what are you going to do? It's ready. Are you sure, God? Because I got it. And actually, it's better than I thought it was. And you know you're not supposed to touch God's anointed. I am God's anointed. And let me help you, God. But in your spirit, you hear, let it go. Let it go. Yeah, or pray for him. Another step further. Right? Let it go. Just let it go. Walk away. But God, I'll look like an idiot. I'll look weak. God said, let it go. See all that? You're acting like mere men or mere humans? See that? You act like somebody from a different... Because the world is not your... Yeah. It's not your choice, right? Your world is not your master. No, Jesus is my master. Jesus is my boss. I'm led by the Spirit of God. So how can you hear from God? I'm glad you asked. I've already gone over a couple of them. I'm just so all over my notes. Clear the clutter. What you feed. What you feed. If you find yourself only developing natural answers, check up on your spirit. How much are you digging into the Word of God on your own time? You know, listen to podcasts. Listen, read the Word. Discuss. Make it a normal thing around your home to talk about the things of God. Feed your spirit. It'll become clearer. The next thing is pride. I've already talked about this. Pride. What hinders you, what can clutter your hearing from the Lord is pride. It's just like I said a minute ago. Those situations happen and God speaks to you about something. You're like, nope. You're really mad at somebody and you know exactly what you're going to say. And you know exactly how you want them to feel. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Humility is stopping and listening to what God has to say about whatever situation that is. Humility is to stop and say, okay, Lord, What? Like, that's a big question in my vocabulary with me and the Lord is, okay, what, Lord? What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? And listen. Listen. What seems right? What seems like this should be the right way to go, right? And if it's quiet, wait. Don't make big decisions. There are some things, should I sell my house? Should I get a new job? Should I do? I'm talking about everyday life stuff. Because listen, if we don't get the everyday life stuff down, forget the big things. Right? We need to learn. Something that we can learn. The next thing, how do we hear? It's to quiet your own heart. When bad news comes, you get a bad report. You get some bad news. What's your first mind thoughts? What's your first thoughts that come to you? Worst case scenario? Like, well, if this happens, then you ever seen those commercials where they go from one bad case scenario to the next, and next thing you know, this guy who, you know, just forgot his wallet is now, like, in jail on drug charges. Like, there's this commercial that's out there like that. Like, you ever see it? Like, worst case scenario. Like, are you the worst case scenario person? That whenever a bad thing comes, like, do you stop and check your spirit? God, that's really bad news. God, what do you say about it? Because God may be as simple as, David, I got you. Don't worry. Don't worry, I got you. And you don't have to hear that from somebody else. You don't have to hear that you can hear that from the very voice of God inside you. I got you, Dave. Don't worry about it. You're confused. Like different decisions and all this other stuff and confusion's going around and like, God, I don't know what God you called me to, or even in your own calling or your just life situation, you're just confused. Stop. Be quiet and listen. What are we doing? You're making space for the Holy Spirit. Like sometimes we're just running as fast as we can in our lives. And we're like, Jesus, I hope you're with me. I really hope you're with me because we're going. Like, and Jesus is like, would you just stop and take a minute and listen. Sometimes we don't hear from God because we're too cluttered in our own thoughts. We're so busy that we don't make time. We don't make space. You understand, like, in Jesus' culture, in the culture of the Bible, like, they weren't running the race that we're running as fast as we're running. Right? There were times. They didn't have Facebook and Instagram, and they didn't have like Pinterest. Sorry about that, some people. They didn't have all this stuff that like immediately gets your attention all the time, and all the time it has your attention. They slowed down. And we listen. Are you making space? Are you giving God space to speak to us or to you and to me? Are we giving God time to listen to our spirit rather than just going off? Just, you're a three-part being. God didn't design you to run off just your mental. Jesus said, it's so wonderful. He said, it's better that you, Jesus told his disciples, it's better that I go. Because if I go, I'll send the helper to you. Isn't that good? As a matter of fact, it actually translates. He talks about, Jesus says, I won't leave you as orphans. Look, you're not alone in this. You're not all by yourself in this. You have a helper. And one more thing, I forgot to say it. Is you know how else you grow your ability to hear from God? When God speaks, obey. Obey. Actually, for me personally, it's been the biggest key to being able to learn to hear from God. Is when God speaks, obey. When God tells you to let it go, yes. It's a lordship thing too, remember this, right? It is a lordship thing. God says, okay, I'll let it go. God says, do this. All right, okay, I'll do it. God says, take your wife out for dinner. Take your wife out for dinner. And all the women said? Amen. God speaks to you, right? And He wants to speak to you. He's your helper. Let's make space. Amen? Let's all stand together. Worship team, you can come on up. As they come, just... As they come up, just let me say this. This is how I live my life. You know, the Bible talks about praying without seeking. Seeking? It doesn't say that. It says, pray without ceasing. I believe this is part of it. If you only knew how many times I say that a day, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Had a homeless lady come up to us at a in a parking lot the other day. I was meeting with Jessica, and they walk up to you, and there's that question, like, what do? You give them money? What do you do? You know what the answer to that question is? Not make a blanket statement, I never give to. What does the Spirit of God say? What does God say? As she's talking to me, telling her all, I was barely even listening to her. Because her story, I mean, it meant something, but it doesn't mean as much as, Lord, what are you saying? She said, I need to ride to Cartersville. I said, Lord. He said, yes. Here we go. So I and somebody else, amen, took this lady to Cartersville. What am I doing on the way to Cartersville? As she's in there telling me her story. Lord, what do you want to say? Why is this happening? What do you want to say to her? God gave me what to say to her. It was strong. And I did it. Let her go. Came back. It's something to be well-pleasing to God. You just follow after God. And God uses you. Amen? You make space for God to speak. Sometimes God will say no. Just say, no, I can't. And if that's from God, it's from God. Go with it. But make room for Jesus. Make room for the Holy Spirit to speak. Amen. Got so much more to say, but I'm going to let it go. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're in here and you say, my life is so cluttered. My mind is always cluttered. And I'm really not feeding myself the way I should be feeding. I'm feeding a lot more of my flesh and my mind than I am my own spirit. And there's just a lot of clutter. Well, we're going to invite Pitch and Chuck back. And we're going to pitch some of these things, some of these habits. And we're going to chuck some of these other things. This is what I kind of sense. I want you to hold your hand out in front of you, like you have something in your hand. And I want you to even imagine, if you will, all of that clutter. You're taking off of you, and you're putting it in your hands. All of that clutter. Whether it's all the news you watch, which is not sinful, whether it's all even the secular music that you listen to, which is not necessarily sinful, all the time you waste, but it's just clutter. And I want you to put it in your mind's eye, I guess, put it in your hand. And I want you to allow that amazing junk truck coming with Pitch and Chuck driving it, and they're taking those things and they're hauling them away. And now with your empty hands, you say, God, I'm making space for you. I'm making space for you. Fill up my cup, God. I'm making space to hear your voice. I'm making space to be a follower of you. God, I'm making space for you in my life in a greater way. And God, help me to be obedient when you speak to me. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed still. Sometimes this is a little bit tougher than others. And if this is an area maybe that you said, man, I really would love just a stronger walk with the Lord in this area. And maybe you would say, you know what, maybe you're in the entirety of your life, you say, really, I haven't really been pursuing God like I know I need to, and I want to make it right this morning. Or maybe it's just you say, you know what, I just want to hear from God. And it's such a big deal, I want somebody to pray over me this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm so passionate about this stuff because it revolutionized my life. It's helped me be a good father. It's helped me to be a good husband. It's helped me to be a good pastor. To hear from God. And if that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to call you up. And if you'd like prayer, I want you to just, as they sing this first stanza of this song, I want you to just come on down. I want to pray with you this morning. Amen. Go ahead, Jessica.